So today it's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. So I'll give you some time to open your Bible, turn on your phone, but put it in silence, not like me, I did earlier, or just look up at the screen. So again, the scripture is found today in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Today, let's see here, our speaker today here is Russ Swain. Russ and his family currently lives in Richmond, right? Previously, they lived in such places like China and New York City. Cool. And seriously, I wish I could do that too. One day, maybe. In 2012, they moved back from China to the Vancouver area, where he had received his MDiv at Regent College. Russ currently helps leaders in the workplace to go from where they are to where they want to be. That's very cool, too. He currently works with Leader Impact as area manager for the Metro Vancouver area. Today, he's going to speak to us on the topic of adoption, to choose or to be chosen. Russ.
Oh, it's nice to get applause. That's nice. Thank you. For just a moment, as I get ready, I want you to answer this question. I want you to turn to a friend. I know. I love this. She's already made you change seats. So then now I get to ask you a question as I get ready. I want you to turn to your friend and tell a favorite memory of a game you used to play on the schoolyards when you were a child. Okay? So maybe you still are a child, but some of you are not, a little older children in the room. But I want you to turn to a friend and tell them one favorite memory of something you did at school, like a favorite game you used to play together. So as I get ready, I want you guys to talk about that for each other. Okay? Okay, everybody, I know it's dangerous actually to leave it out the audience to talk to each other while you're doing your sermon, but I thought it'd be fun to do that. So let me bring us back. Was that fun or memories? Do you have some fun memories there? Or maybe no memories? Who had a fun memory that they wanted? Can you remember some fun games you played as kids? My kids come home with, and I currently have three kids, and they come home with different games they've been learning at school. And I'm like, either a handshake or some kind of slap game with their hands. I'm like, I didn't do that as a kid, so it's a new game for me to learn. So always fun to see them. Speaking of my family, I thank you again for inviting me to come today. I really appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to being able to share with you some of the things that on my heart and some things I think that will speak to you hopefully today too. As she mentioned, I have a family that lives in Richmond, and I call it China East. But I have three children myself. My oldest is Hudson. He's 13 years old, moving into teenage years. He just turned 13 and moving into secondary school, and it's like, oh, what do I do now? I have a teenager. It's crazy. And then I have another, my second son is about to turn 11. His name is Everett.
And then he was born here in Vancouver. My first son was born in New York City when I lived in New York City. And then my second son was born here in Vancouver when I was at Regent College. And my third child is my beautiful little girl, and her name's Malia, and she was born in China, and she's 8 years old now. So she just turned eight. She's a growing little girl. Fun. And actually, just to let you in a little about our lives, is that this year we began the adoption process to add a fourth swain to our family. So our family is really growing. So as she mentioned also, I work with a group called Leader Impact. Actually, Tracy and I work together, and that's kind of how I got invited to come today, is a Leader Impact. And if you've not known that, it's about helping leaders to go holistically, to understand their professional and their personal life that's undergirded with the spiritual aspect of their life, to really connect their work with their faith. And so that's what Leader Impact's about. And so we have groups of leaders that meet throughout the city. We have discussion groups that are both in believers and what I call pre-believers that meet together and discuss aspects of how do you really connect faith in God with work? And can we really do that? And so it helps us in our work to live holistically in that way. So if you'd like to know more about that, if Tracy has not shared enough with you about it, and you're not tired of hearing Tracy speak, I'd love to share more with you about those things and what's going on here in the Metro Vancouver area. So we have groups all over Metro Vancouver, in Langley, in Surrey, in downtown, and starting something in Richmond hopefully soon. So I'd love to have something start in Burnaby here. My desire is to reach all of Metro Vancouver and share the love of Jesus with them and helping them understand how to live out their faith in their work. But enough about that. I really hope that what I have to share today will connect with you. And I think that was something that you can take home with you and that you will really wrestle with this week. And hopefully, if I get a chance to share again, to really build upon what we talk about today. So I hope that you'll have questions too. So I noticed in your bulletin here that you have a little section that has for notes. I don't know how many people ever take notes. I almost never take notes. But I know that you can. If you have a pen in your hand, I grab a pen and encourage you to take some notes today. And if you have questions, I encourage you to write your questions down so that maybe you can come in and wrestle with me on this topic that I've been wrestling with over the last several years. It's that topic of adoption. So as I mentioned, my wife and I began the adoption process at the beginning of 2015. Now, we haven't gotten very far in that process yet, but we're on our way. And it's the most daunting process I ever thought I never not imagined I'd be a part of. But it's a lot of fear in it, but also a lot of excitement in what's happening too. So that's kind of why I brought this topic up today, is because I'm wrestling with it. And I hope that as you wrestle with it too, that it'll bring you to a deeper relationship and understanding of what it means to follow God. So, but I really don't know where you come from today. I don't know any of you besides Tracy and Fritz here. So I have no idea where you're coming from, but I know that, I don't know if you, where you are in your spiritual journey. You may be there. You may be, me and God are really close. Maybe you're not there. Maybe you're really struggling with your faith. Maybe you said some guy invited me along and I just came because he said there's going to be free donuts or something like that afterwards. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know how you slept last night. Maybe you had a bad sleep. Maybe you had bad dreams last night. Something going on in your life. Maybe your faith has been rocked by something that's happened in your life. I really don't know where you come from, but I hope that you will come with your questions. I hope that you'll come with your doubts, with your fears, with your anxieties, and then that we can discuss and journey together as we discuss what it means to be chosen or to choose. To be chosen or to choose. I think the next picture has a picture of my family. We're going to go to the next slide. Oh, sorry, it's my baseball team. Let me go to that first. So do you remember the days when you were in the schoolyard? Remember when you were in the schoolyard and everyone decided to play a game together? They're choosing teams, right? Maybe you're one of the people that's the choosing team member, like the head of the team. I choose him, I choose her, I choose that person. Or maybe one of the people getting chosen. There's that anticipation that I'm going to be playing on a team. See, I had that situation happen this summer. I've been coaching baseball or soccer for the last few years, and I get to coach 9 and 10-year-olds in baseball. So we came out to practice one day, and I'm like, We need three teams. We have 12 kids. We need three teams. I said, you know what? Usually it does. You pick the best players and they choose the best and then they choose their teams. I turned it on its head. I said, I want the youngest players. I want you guys to choose your team. So I chose three of the youngest players and said, you choose your team. It was so interesting to watch the dynamic change as the anticipation and the excitement grew up. Oh, whose team am I going to be on? Whose team am I going to be on? And to be chosen, to see the kids excited about being picked. Do you remember the days when that happened? When you were choosing or being chosen on a team to be a part of something that is bigger than yourself? Well, I want to just share a little bit about that. The illustration talks about two parties here. Those who are chosen and those who choose their teams, right? Some people were to be chosen and some people enjoy being the choosers, right? I want to choose my team. I want to be the one in control of choosing my teams. Which camp do you land in? Do you like to be the chosen people or you like to be the choosers? Who likes to be the chosen? Who likes to just to sit back and let somebody choose them? Who likes to be in control and be the chooser? Yeah, I knew there were some people like that. Yeah, exactly. So, but that brings me to my main point of why I talk about this topic about to choose or to be chosen. You might disagree with me about this, but I hope that you'll journey with me as I talk about this, and maybe you'll change your mind as you think about this. To be chosen, let me go to the next slide. To be chosen is even better than to choose. To be chosen is not better than given the opportunity to choose, but it's even better than to be given a choice. Okay? To be chosen is not better than given the opportunity to choose. It's better than being given a choice. Now, some of you might be saying, how can that be? I really like my freedom. I'm a Canadian. I've been given right to be to choose. It's a freedom. That's what I get to do. My parents moved here to give us freedom to choose. That's why we came to Canada. And I would agree with you on part of that. Okay? Having choice, that means we're human beings. Human beings are given that ability to choose. If we lose that ability to choose, we lose our humanness. We are human beings made in God's image. God is the one who chooses, right? And if we're not have the ability to choose, then we're not humans. We're just another dog or we're another animal out there. But God's given us the ability, the mentality to choose. We're made in His image. And so if we lose the ability to choose, we lose our hope. We lose our humanity. So don't take me wrong. Choosing is a good thing. But to be chosen is even better. So, where I lose my notes here. You can see in the history of the world this is true, okay? In societies where you have the ability to choose or the freedom to choose, the world has been transformed. There's been major changes that happen in the world because societies allow you the freedom to choose and the ability to think for yourself. And most in the developed world, like in Canada and the United States, there's new technologies and new things that are making all the time because we have the freedom and the ability to choose. It's not like other societies where there's a limited choice for people. In developing nations oftentimes or in third world nations, there's not the ability to choose. You know, there's limited choices. And because of that, there's not much freedom and there's not much joy in their lives. But, like, it's, for instance, like the Germany during Hitler's rule, there was a real hardcore, I'm the one choosing for you. I'm telling you what to do. And your limited choice, the person underneath them had limited choices. Or I would even say during Chairman Mao's rule in China, there's a very limited choices people had. You could choose this. You had this, these little coupons, and this is what you could choose to eat. Only with that limited amount of money. It's a very challenging situation to live in. Or even today, with ISIS. If you've read much about what ISIS regime is doing over in the Middle East, they're giving people limited choices. And so because of that, there's not a lot of freedom in that. There's no choice. And so I think that's very limiting in what's going on. So I don't get me wrong in saying that choice is not a good thing. But to be chosen is even better than to choose. And I'll get to that. He said, well, Russ, you just said the opposite of what you were, your point is, saying choice is important. Well, let me clarify with my statement a little further. It's, you know, it's in limiting societies where they rule over others. They're mainly doing it, these rulers are doing it from a vain conceit or selfish ambition, the rulers that rule over those people. But they are making a very limited choice for other people. So my point is that to be chosen by another has to be someone who has your best in mind. Those limiting societies, those rulers didn't have the other people's best in mind. They were only doing it for their own selfish ambition, resulting in the people underneath them were simply trying to survive, making choices for self-survival or self-preservation. So my first qualification is my statement is that the chooser must be somebody who cares for the chosen. Okay? So, yes, many societies do not like that ability to be when they're chosen for, right? I don't like someone making choices for me. I want to make my own choices, right? That's what freedom's about. That's what we like is love, is that choices are, that I can make choices for myself, right? You like to make choices on your own, right? You know, with your parents as you grow up. I don't want my parents to tell me what to do anymore. I want to make my own choices in my life, right? But if it's someone that's choosing for me, that cares for me and loves me and wants the best for me, it's easier to want to be chosen by them to make my, than make my own choices at times. Okay? So my first qualification is that the chooser must be genuine, have genuine care for the chosen or for what the chosen brings to the group. So there's a lot more pressure on the chooser to have a selfish ambition and to see the best in others that they are choosing. I don't know about you, but my ambitions are nowhere close to selfless. So I'm the chooser. It's all about me. I want the best for me. I want the best team. When I'm a baseball coach, I want to find the best players for my team so that we can, what? Win, right? So it's about me winning. It's about me looking good. Okay? I don't always have the best interest for the kids involved. I used to put the best kids on the field and leave the kids who are not so good, what? On the bench where they couldn't play. And that's not the way I want to talk about. That's not the chooser I want to talk about today. To be chosen by a loving person who cares about me and cares for me and knows me is even better than to choose for others. See, the pressure is off the one who's chosen when the chooser is loving and caring for you. He gives you assignment. He helps you train you. The pressure's on the chooser to do all those things for you, and all you simply do is to do what he says to do. So, the pressure's on them. Okay? So give me the next slide. Okay, the next one. To be chosen by others is even better than to choose others. You guys have heard of the mission to Mars? Anybody heard of the mission to Mars coming up? Did anybody apply? No one? Imagine if you try to go to Mars on your own. Okay? Ever thought about building a rocket ship, anybody? Ever had the resource to do that? I'd love to build a rocket ship, wouldn't you? When I was a kid, I was like, oh, that'd be fun to be an astronaut. I'd love to be able to go to Mars someday. That would be awesome. Over 200,000 people applied to go to Mars. You know that? 200,000 people want to give up their lives to simply have a chance to go to Mars. Because there's no way, there's no return. You know that? There's no return. When you go that trip, there's no coming back. Our lives don't last that long to be able to go there and to come back. But to have the ability to go to Mars and put our first foot on the Mars, you know what it takes for that? Man, do you, I was reading what the qualifications are for that. You know, if you heard that, go, yeah, Mars here goes. The first thing is you must be free from any disease. Who qualifies for that right now, huh? Okay, raise your, free from any disease. You can't be dependent on any drugs or alcohol or tobacco, is what it says. You have to have normal range of motion in all your joints. And I kind of limited in that. I feel like my shoulders are about to die right now. So you have to live limited. It's interesting, these qualifications. You have normal range of motion and functionality in all your joints. You have to be able to move. You have to have 20/20 vision. Who could? Yeah, all of us go, oh no. But they do qualify, so you can have contact lenses too. But still, 20/20 vision is what they require. Who's out now? Anybody raise your hand out of that now? You got to be free from psychiatric disorders. No crazy people up in Mars. No crazy people there. It's important that they be healthy. Duh. You want sick people to be up in Mars? Is that what you want? No, they said you got to be healthy. You have to have a fitness level that's fitness appropriate to your age and your gender, they said. He said, your blood pressure must not be over 140/90 sitting down. So they don't want any fat people up there. Very limiting who they want, you know? They want the perfect people to go to Mars. When they meet the Martians there, go, hey, I'm the perfect human being. Yeah, nice to meet you. And you must not be above 190 centimeters. You got to be between 157 and 190 centimeters. Nowhere, no short people. You can't make it, short people. And no tall people. You can't go to Mars, guys. Sorry. Only perfect people can go to Mars. The Martians are going to think we're crazy or something like that. Just think about the company, the person that's choosing those people. Think about the person that's choosing, saying, okay, they're going to make it. They don't go. They go. They go. That's got to be a huge responsibility. You know what? Because they're not just choosing people to go to Mars. They're also choosing those people because they're going to die getting there sometime. And they're not coming back. It's a huge responsibility for somebody. But we all have our faults, and we're all going to, they're going to just choose the perfect people to go to Mars. So I'm sorry, guys, you can't go. Sorry, we're all going to fail that way. So I'm not going to be able to make it. But so the responsibility of the chooser in that situation is very high. If they don't choose the right people, what's going to happen? The mission might fail. And if it fails, the company itself might fail. And their job, they lose their job. All those things. The responsibility is pretty high in the chooser to choose the right people to go to Mars in that situation. And I was listening to another speaker. His name's Andy Stanley. I'm not sure if you've ever heard this guy speak before. I really appreciate what he talks about. But he says, we all actually have a disease. And so we don't want to go to Mars. No, that we all have a disease. It's called the end disease. You ever heard of that disease before? It's called the end disease. We all want to be included in everything. We want to be included. We want to be in the in group. We want to have be within people. We want to be chosen. We want someone to say, you know what, Fritz, I really appreciate who you are, and I want you to be in our group. I want you to be in our team. We have that disease. Everyone has it. A human being. If you're a human being, you have this disease. When we're not chosen or included in the club, when we're not in the in-group, how do we feel? What? Rejected, right? Who loves feeling rejected? Oh, I love rejection. Oh, give me rejection. I love it. See, that's not the God that I'm talking about. That's not the chooser that I'm talking about. The chooser is a God who loves us, who created us for a relationship with Him. So when the chooser is a God who cares for us and the one who created us for a relationship with Him, that's the chooser I'm talking about. So it's better to be chosen by a God who loves us and cares for us than to make the choice of being with God or not. Does that make sense? Do you understand that? So that when we bring into the concept of adoption is what I kind of want to bring up today. Because I take my qualifying statement a little further along. Next slide. To be chosen by your family is even better than to choose your family. To be chosen by your family is better than to choose your family. Now, who's ever heard of someone choosing their family? Did you choose your family? Did you choose your mom and dad? Not many people choose their mother and father. That's very rare. Maybe an adoption situation, someone chooses someone. But I don't know. I didn't choose my mom or my dad. That choice was made by them, not by me. Now, who would like to go back and change their mother or father, huh? Raise your hand. Be honest. Be honest. Who would like to choose their mother or change their mother or father? And if we're honest, we probably don't want to do that, right? We love our mother and our father, and we thank God that they brought us into the world, right? But to be chosen by our family, by the mom and dad, is that choice they made is better than for us to choose my family. And I probably, if I went back and tried to choose my mother or father, I'd probably make a huge mistake, and I'd probably choose the wrong people for that job. But God in His sovereignty has allowed you to be chosen by your mom and dad and to giving you life. As I mentioned at first, my wife and I have three children. And so what a powerful sensation is in joy and a fear I sense with the birth of all three of them. All three of these kids were gifts to us. We now have a great responsibility to care for and teach each one of them, right? And recently we sensed it was time to open our family up to a fourth person joining our family. This is one of the scariest decisions I think I've ever made in my life. For a child to be chosen by someone else as a part of their family is an amazing concept for me. I'm choosing you to be a part of my family that I already have. It's an amazing concept. When I was in China for 5 years, we had several families around us that were adopting children from around the world. One family, all international families, but they chose a child from Ethiopia and brought her to China. I'm like, wow, that's just crazy to think for me. Another child was brought from Taiwan to China. And my kids start looking at me going, Dad, are we next? Are we adopting next? And I'm like, I'm not ready for that responsibility for sure at the time. This concept of adoption that Paul brings up in as you read that scripture today, thanks for reading for us. It's an interesting concept because it's not the first time it's brought up. It's brought up in Galatians. It's brought up in the book of Romans. It's a major part of what Paul's teaching is for the people that time. See, adoption back in Rome is very interesting. Let me share a little bit about what this talks about. In Roman law, adoption meant that one entirely ceased being a member of one's own or other family, former family, and they came under the power and authority of a new family or head, what is called the paterfamilias. That's a big word. It doesn't really matter right now. But it's a legal transfer of a domestic identity that lies at the heart of Roman adoption. So it's really truly a moving from this family, and you die to that family, and you move to this family. You almost have a new identity, a brand new identity. The old is completely gone, lost, forgotten. You're a new person. Isn't that kind of crazy to think about? Think about that with you. Right now, you are Tom Lee, and you get here, and you're no longer Tom Lee, but you're now Jack Chen. Totally new person. That's the concept that they're talking about in adoption. Your old is gone. All your debts you had as Tom Lee are forgotten. Now Jack Chen, you have all the things that the Chen family has. It's now yours. This guy's a really rich person that's now adopted you. You have all the riches that they have. That's what it means. Tom Lee's forgotten. The death, the poor family, whatever they were in, it's all forgotten. The Roman family didn't have that. Romans didn't have that concept anymore. You didn't have that rights anymore. You have now the rights of this new family. It's kind of a crazy concept to think about. But that's what Paul pulls from today in our passage. So let's turn to that passage again. So I have the next slide. I have it. So to be chosen by God the Father is even better than to choosing to follow God. To be chosen by God the Father is even better than choosing to follow God. Let me read Paul's words again to us in Ephesians 1:3-6. Okay? Praise be to the Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So the English language here does not do justice to what Paul has written. But the new community that Paul's writing to, he's writing to this new group of people who follow Jesus Christ, that follow God through Jesus Christ, would have found this amazing, what Paul is talking about. So we can't really understand the depth of what Paul's talking about in English. It's, you know, like in Chinese, translation from Chinese to English, a lot of things are missing, right? A lot of concepts missing. Same thing happens here. When you move from the original Greek into English, you're losing some of the context and understanding. When you don't live in that context of what the Ephesians understood, these were a lot of these people in the Ephesian church then were Jews that have come to faith in Jesus. And I hear Paul talking about God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word God, he uses the word Adonai. You ever heard the word Adonai? They used to use, as Jewish people, they would say it was Jehovah. Okay? And Jehovah was a safe way to say God. But if you use the word Adonai with, if you said the word Adonai for God back with the Jews, that means you were like blaspheming God. Because you were saying you're so close and intimate God that you are not with, you're without sin. You can say the most intimate name of God at the time. So Paul uses the word Adonai here. He's blowing them out of the water with that. But the next phrase is even more amazing, is the word what? Father. Have you heard of Abba? The word Abba? Abba is the word he uses here. Abba, Father. Now, you may echo something else you've heard before. You know, Jesus' prayer was, what was it? Our Father who art in heaven. Jesus rocked the world by saying, our Father who art in heaven. Because no one referred to God as Abba at the time. It's almost saying, like, this is my friend, this is my closest person. But God to the Jews was a God who ruled the universe. He controlled everything, and there's no intimacy between us and him. There's a very distant relationship between God and the Jews. Even though they were his people, it's a very distant relationship. But Jesus turns it on his head, and Paul turns it on his head and says, you can have an intimate relationship with God. You can call him Abba. Someone who can crawl up in his lap and he can read you stories. He loves you so much, is the way Paul wants you to understand that. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, is what he talks about, right? So, we understand it's Abba Father, right? The second thing is you understand it's a new reality that Paul is talking about here. Or for him, it's just reality. But he's teaching the people in Ephesus that there's a new reality here. It's he has blessed us in the heavenly realms. What you see here is just things here, but he's saying in the heavenly realms there's an even better place to be. He wants us to wake up and say there's a bigger world out there. I have a new reality for you to live in, a new place for you to live in. It's like you're moving from a little shack here to a huge mansion. I drive down the roads in Richmond. I don't know if you guys have been in Richmond very much. There's some land there, and they're building these huge mansions. I mean, the biggest houses I can see. And I'm like, what are they? Wow. How about if I moved in one of those places? I'd be moving from my little shack here to a big five-story or three-story mansion that has all these rooms and has everything, all the room I want in it. That's kind of what he's saying. Paul says, the new reality is this mansion, this huge place I have for you. I have glorious riches for you in heaven. You may not see it here, but I want you to understand that you have that reality. You become, move from the Tom Lee to Jack Chen, and you've been given a whole new reality. You've been given this mansion, this huge reality, a new reality for you. And that's what Paul is talking about here in our passage today. He says that that this new reality is something we need to grapple onto, that we need to hold on to and understanding this world, because in the world, we're going to face hardships. We're going to face challenges in our lives. And he's saying, I want you to see that there's more to it, that this is temporary, and this is the eternal riches are what you're reaching for. That's what you're aiming for. That's what we're going for. And not only does they say that, but he takes it one step further and says that you're adopted into this new family. You're adopted into this new family. You're no longer the Tom Lee. You're now the Jack Chen. Does that make sense? You're now adopted. The old is completely forgotten, but the new is your reality. This is where you'll be forever. Because this God of the universe loves you and wants you to be his and his family. Now, how much does he want you to be in his family? God says that he loves you so much that he sent his own son, his very own son, to make a way for you to be in that relationship with him. And honestly, it's the most thing that blows me away. I can't imagine what God did in terms of bringing Jesus Christ to the world. His only son, he gave up for us to be in that relationship with him. He let him die. Now, I mentioned I have three children, right? My oldest son. Now, I just met Charles today. Okay? So Charles, I hope I can use you in my illustration here for just to, I don't know you from maybe from the hello we said a moment ago. But if someone came and said, I need Hudson, my son's, you got to give up your heart for Charles to live, I'd have a hard time doing that, wouldn't you? If it's your child, wouldn't it? But Charles, for you to live, I had to give up Hudson's heart for you to live. That'd be a pretty crazy thing. I have a hard time saying, yeah, come on, Hudson, you got to give up your heart to let Charles live. That, in a sense, is what God did by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. He said, you know what? I can't have a relationship with you guys. I can't have a relationship with Charles right now because there's some things in his life that have to change. He has a bad heart. Okay? So I'm going to send my only son, who I have an intimate relationship with, to come down to earth, and he's going to die on a cross for Charles to have a relationship with me. It's pretty amazing, isn't it, Charles? That's what God has done for us by Jesus dying on the cross for us. He's made a way that Charles can now be close to God. Can be in their relationship with God. In our passage today, I find it amazing what he talks about. We're in Christ. Because in Christ means that we're in relationship with the most intimate relationship that happens in the world, in the history of the world. We're in Christ. You guys have heard of the Trinity, right? Have we heard of the Trinity before? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If we're in Christ, I'm going to blow your mind a little bit. If we're in Christ, then we're in the most intimate relationship in the history of the world. We're in Christ. We're included in this intimate relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, people might be thinking that's sacrilege. You can't say that we're in the Trinity. That's a very sacred place. But I don't say it. Paul said it. We're in Christ. We're in this relationship. He wants to include you. He loves you so much that he chose you before the history of the beginning of the world. He chose you and he created you for that relationship with him. And so thus, Jesus came to die for you. Because he wants to know you. He wants you back on the team. So that's what Paul's getting to here. It's a new reality and he wants you to live in it. This new reality that he's given you. This mansion. These eternal blessings. He has adopted you. He's given all the old to make it so you can come here to be adopted by him and be a child of the King of Kings. Now, a couple of quotes that I have from J.I. Packer. Have you heard of J.I. Packer before? He's at Regent College. He was one of the professors there, and I used to love being in and listening to what he had to say. He said, adoption is the highest privilege that the gospel offers. Higher even than justification. Now, justification is a big word. It just means made right with God. Okay? Jesus made us, he came and made a way for us to be with God. That's justification. Okay? Justification is a primary blessing. So it is the fundamental blessing in the sense that everything else in salvation assumes it and rests on it, but including adoption. But it's not to say that justification is the highest blessing of the gospel. The highest blessing is adoption. That we're adopted. You've given a new name. You've given a new rights to be with God. That's what's the most important thing, J.I. Packer says, is adoption. That we're adopted in. Justification is way beyond what we can think of. But adoption is a concept that Paul brings to us so that we can understand what it means to have that relationship with him. To be adopted in. He continues on. You want to read the next slide? And Paul talks about this, and Jesus brings us to our understanding of this mystery and sacrifice that God gave us through Jesus Christ dying for us. He says, adoption and regeneration accompany each other as two aspects of the salvation that Christ brings, but they are to be distinguished. Adoption is the bestowal of a relationship, while regeneration is the transformation of our moral nature. Yet the link is evident. God wants his children, whom he loves, to bear his character and take action accordingly. Packer wants us to understand that adoption holds a special place in God's heart. It isn't just that we are being saved through Christ's death or God's way of justifying those who believe in Jesus, but Christ's death also brings us into a loving, deep relationship through adoption into his family. I like how Peterson talks about it in the Message, and I'll close this in a moment. This is what he says in the Message version of the same passage that we read. It says, how blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the highest places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind and settled us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. See, it's not just about us being the choosers, but God chose us long time ago to have a relationship with him. So it's better to be chosen by a God who cares for you and designed you for his relationship with him in life in this world than to choose for ourselves to follow God. So my conclusion is simply this. It's to do for you. If you haven't accepted that or chosen God or allow God to choose you then I'd love to talk to you more about that, about what it means to have a relationship with Him. If you come to find me after the service, and we can talk more about what it means to be chosen by Him and to have that relationship with Him and how you can enter that relationship forever and have that new reality I talked about earlier. Second, if you're tired of trying to be adopted or trying to make this happen, I want you to take a little bit of time this week to journal for yourself. What's journaling? Just writing out what God's talking to you about. Just talking to God about stuff. Take some time to think about being a Jack Chen, living in this mansion. You've moved from this Tom Lee to Jack Chen. I don't know if someone's named Jack Tom Lee in this group. But I hope you will embrace what it means to be a Jack Chen with all that God wants to lavish on you today. And finally, I want you, if you have made that relationship with God and desire to follow Him, I want to talk about with you and next time I get together is talking about what it means to be an heir. You get it all. Like I said, Jack Chen got it all. He got the mansion and everything. What does it mean to be an heir with Jesus? It's an amazing concept. But think about that. You get it all with Him. He wants to lavish it on you as His your child of the Father. So hope you've got something out today. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me after the service. Come and find me or something like that. And I'd love to answer your questions about what we talked about today. But thank you again for allowing me to come. And I hope this has been a blessing for you today. So.